Derek. First podcast of the week here on a Thursday. You weren't getting one on Monday. All of our attention. What did I read? How many billions of dollars was lost in productivity? It was a once-in-a-lifetime event, and I'm so glad so many people enjoyed it, and it surpassed their expectations. So Monday is my super busy day. I get all of the music scheduled for the station for the week, usually on Monday. But that was Tuesday. Yesterday, you got the story. Before we get to the return of a face I think many people have come to know, Sergeant Jeff McClendon from the Toledo Police Force, such a good dude. You might see him out in the community a lot because he is here to talk about recruiting for the academy, tpdhire.com. He has some other officers with him, but he's also been on Live PD for a year, and he is a little bit of a celebrity. If you will indulge me for just 1 second on that note, I don't have to prove anything to you, but I will tell you that I'm, considering what I do, I think I'm pretty humble and modest. I don't want any attention. I don't want the acclaim. When I'm working, when I'm hosting something, that's totally different. But when I'm laying low, if I'm having coffee somewhere, I was at the library today with a friend, I am incognito. I would wear sunglasses inside if I didn't want to look so stupid. It is always humbling. And it makes me feel like my work is important and purposeful when someone does want to meet me or say hi to me or recognizes me. And especially when they're like, I can't thank you enough for the mental health work that you do. Again, it is very, very humbling. And I don't expect anything like that, although this will counter that. So I was at the bank today, and you know what was even... It's humbling and even more surprising when those sentiments come from someone who doesn't look like they would be a listener to the kind of lifestyle that I have been a part of over the last, 10 years. You don't look like you listen to Britney Spears throwbacks. You get my point. So that's always nice when I know that I made an impact beyond who I am hoping to have in my orbit. Today at the bank, there are two women who I for sure thought would be in my orbit based on what they look like and what their lifestyle seemed to be like. I'm not stereotyping. I'm just being intuitive. Certainly of the age, one might have been a couple of years older than me. One might have been a couple of years younger than me. Now, it was a bank, so they were dealing with my legal name. And they had asked, like, what I do at work. I'm like, I host a radio show and help run a radio station. And they, as usual, one of them was confused about 105.5. Thought it was 101.5. No, we're not the river. There's a lot of confusion. It sucks, blah, blah, blah. But I was a bit surprised seeing who they were that they didn't know me. I am not dropping a don't you know who I am. I'm just telling you it was a bit surprising considering who they were. And it's a humbling reminder that I could do more work if I wanted to be out there that much more. And I haven't wanted to be this year or so. But just being humbled is good. Humble pie doesn't taste good when it first go down, but it's potent calories. It's like a vegetable. Eat your fruits, eat your vegetables, eat your lean protein. That's humble pie. But when it doesn't taste good. We'll get to the TPD people in just a couple minutes. It was OJ died today. So the two funny things. I came across a headline on Drudge. Cancer murders OJ. And Mookie sent this my way. OJ can finally rest knowing his wife's killer is dead. I remember growing up, it was the moon landing or Kennedy's assassination. Those were moments of people older than us where they knew where they were. I think the OJ chase with, it was Al Cowlings in the Bronco on the LA highway. That was the first moment where I will never forget where I was. I can remember everything, almost everything. It was a Friday afternoon, June 17th in 94, so late spring. I had a baseball game. I was 15 years old. I remember it. I remember where the baseball game was. I don't remember the name. Maybe it were like Archbishop Ryan Field or something. And I remember we started to hear that OJ is on the loose, like OJ is a fugitive. And we all couldn't wait to finish the game, to get in the car, to listen on the radio, to see what the hell was going on, and then get home and see it. It was a beautiful, sunny, warm day where I was. I remember when I was that young, I knew, like, I could tell, again, more intuition. I'm like, oh, he's, like, all, and this was all, most of us, I think, oh, he's totally guilty. I don't want him to be guilty. I don't want to think that this football player, who was not somebody I watched, but he was a football player, and I liked, you know, athletes. I don't want to believe that he did it, but I knew that he did it. It's also, I found the irony when he was finally arrested and tossed in jail for however long. He was what? Caught and arrested for stealing his own stuff? Is that what it was? Like, that was the aggravated assault charge? And it was irony. Like, they couldn't get him on the murder charge, even though he got nailed in the civil suit, but they get him for stealing his own stuff. Quite comparable to the legendary, or infamous is a better word, Al Capone, who they could never get him for being a gangster. They got him for tax evasion. By the way, Monday is tax day, so timing on that. Two other things to reminisce. Olga's. You went to it in the mall here, right? My mom took me to it at Oxford Valley Mall when I was a kid. And what was I eating that was that doughy deliciousness? There is an Olga's that has opened up. It is on Airport, I believe. Yeah, it's in Holland, 7723 Airport. So there's a memory. And also, where's the last thing? There might be a Monopoly movie from Margot Robbie's production company. I was wowed and in awe as a kid when I would play Monopoly, because my dad told me when he and his family, who went down to the Jersey Shore all the time, he told me that all those places that you land on, Connecticut and Baltic, Illinois, Pennsylvania, Park, all that stuff, they were streets and places where he went to in Atlantic City. And when I was 7 and he showed me that, I mean, granted, he could have showed me a $5 bill and I would have been in awe. But it was kind of neat to look up and see those streets and places that they were on a game board. Was there one more thing that we had to tap into today? Yes. A shout out to the brilliant and one of the best writers with prose I've ever read, David Briggs, the sports columnist for The Blade. He gave a mini preview of Toledo native, undefeated heavyweight champion, I believe, Jared Anderson. You remember him. He fought here at home at the Huntington Center last July 4th. Since then, he has been acting like an idiot. I think there was one drunk driving or driving under the influence. There was another police chase. And David got in touch with Jared and asked him the hard questions. And Jared gave the answers that you would expect. I've got to change. These are my mistakes. I got to do better. Words are one thing. Actions are other things. I get it. He's young. He's probably very rich. He is extremely talented. Before long, he could be one of the more recognized athletes in the country, even though boxing isn't what it once was. So he's got to get his shit together. I hope he beats the shit out of his opponent, and I hope he beats the shit out of his own personal opponents he's dealing with. That's it. Let's talk to Jeff and the team with TPD Hire about the police academy now. Good to welcome back the star of Toledo's Live PD, Officer Jeff McClendon. Good to see you.
Good to see you as well. How are you doing?
You're doing the runaround again because we're trying to get the academy filled up, right?
Yes, we're looking for a new class for 2025, March of 2025.
As we start out here, I have a bunch to run by you and ask you, but first up, for those that want to apply and then testing process, let me get those quick details.
Okay, so the first thing they want to do is go to tpdhire.com. We made it pretty simple. We put everything on that platform there. So if they go to tpdhire.com, they're able to fill out a city application and schedule to take the National Testing Network's test.
Okay, can you introduce your coworkers, if you would, so please?
Yeah, so here with me today, I'm part of the recruitment team. I got Officer Walkup here to my left, and then also Officer Zavetto at my left as well.
So you guys all, what was your last name? Cervetto? Officer Cervetto, are you guys out on the streets doing duty and patrol, or is it just mostly recruitment?
Typically, we are patrol, and then we're in the special assignment recruitment right now.
Awesome.
About the next 6 months.
What has being out there on the streets been like since the last time we spoke? Not to, to get real morbid or anything, and I haven't seen the number, which is good, but I know we have had a less violent, less murderous 2024 so far, Jeff.
So it's been pretty good. That's why we brought these off the street, these two officers off the street, to help us get more officers out there. We're looking to hopefully get a class of 40 officers for the next class, so I think it's pretty good. I think last year we had around 520 people that applied to be police officer. We want to get more this year. Looking at least get over 600 people apply to be police officer. But the perception is pretty good out there. People seem like they're loving the police more. So we want to get out there and get those people interested and sign up.
You kind of dodged my question, but that's totally okay. Are they loving the police more? Like, seriously, we kind of joked, we laughed a little bit a year ago. Has it been a year on Live PD?
I'll say about a year.
Okay. We kind of joke, like, everybody made all their Toledo jokes and whatnot, but they have been everywhere for the last year, your face especially. It has to have done nothing but improve the reputation when you guys are out in the community. I joke that you're a bit of a star, but you're a bit of a star when you go out these places, right?
I think the show helped us. We're just trying to show what we do on a day-to-day basis and that, you know, we're out there doing the best work that we can do. And we like being out in the community. We enjoy the community. We love Toledo. And the show gives us an opportunity to actually show that. So we're hoping that also help us with recruiting as well, because it gives the younger people an opportunity to see like what we're out there actually doing.
And the stuff that we read about or see on the news is maybe less than a percent of what takes up your actual day, right?
Right.
Officer Walker, what is your day like on a daily basis when you're not doing media things?
Well, not doing media things when I'm a patrolman on the street, it's different every day. That's the best part of the job, is we're either dealing with menacing calls, domestic violences, or even what we try our best to do is reach out to the community. We do walk rides. We just try to network. Doing this, being a temporary position, it's more networking. It's more just trying to find the motivated individuals that want to partake in this great profession.
What was the draw to you to wanting to be on the recruitment team? How long have you been on the force? What drew you initially? And then where was that urge to want other people to join with you?
Well, I'm just very passionate with this job and this whole career and this lifestyle. That's why I want to be with recruitment. October will be my 3 years on. And I just want to find other like-minded individuals that also love this job and try to reach out.
Where was that initial passion born out of?
Well, my grandfather was a police officer in Cleveland. So he raised me most of my life. So that was a big motivation for me to get out in this job.
Officer Cervetto, what was the draw to you? Same question. What was the initial draw to you to be on the police force and then to want to be a part of this, to ask other people to join in what you do?
So I grew up in Toledo. So for me, it was kind of just giving back to the community. As far as the recruitment, I had a good experience going through starting the academy and starting the hiring process with the recruitment unit. Actually, Sergeant McClendon was someone that I met with, and he helped me through the hiring process. So for me, it was kind of just like, once again, giving back and kind of helping people the way that he had helped me.
You're an old head now. You got any gray growing on there?
I'm starting to get the gray hair now. Yeah.
Officer Cervetto, what, you grew up in Toledo. Where at? What high school did you go to?
I actually went to Cardinal Stritch. So,
what have you learned or experienced about Toledo coming from a Stritch graduate, doing whatever you did right after that, to now being maybe all over the city? How do you see Toledo differently?
I wouldn't say I necessarily see it differently. I think, once again, like, I grew up, I spent my entire life minus 3 years living in Toledo. So, I mean, for me, I grew up across the river. So
right.
I kind of got to see a little more of Toledo, different parts of Toledo that I probably didn't get around to growing up. But
Where are you usually on patrol now?
Downtown is kind of my area. Old West End downtown was where I spent a little bit of my career on the street.
So kind of like a social and cultural perspective, there has been quite a shift. When did you graduate Stritch?
2016.
Been quite a shift and visual change in East Toledo now, and certainly downtown. What has been seeing all of that like for you? Is that a tough question?
Can you repeat it? I'm sorry.
Yeah. People used to make a lot of East Toledo jokes, and you really shouldn't.
They still do.
They need to be retired, because you coming from, did you grow up in East Toledo?
I did.
Yeah. Those jokes should be retired, because if you take somebody that left 10 years ago and now you stick them on the waterfront, they'd be like, this isn't the same city. You've gotten to see the change firsthand. What has that been like?
So I honestly try and avoid working on the east side. I just grew up there.
You know everybody?
I do know a lot of people over there still. So for me, it's just easier. You get two different types. Some people grew up there, love working over there. And some people grew up there, don't like working over there. I'm just one. Nothing against it. It's easier for me to not work over there.
Do you know Jody at the East Toledo Family Center?
I don't believe I do know.
Nothing happens in East Toledo, at least in the Garfield area, without Jody knowing about it. It's a great place. Sergeant McClendon, what is going through? Actually, what type of person it makes a good officer? What traits should they have? What traits maybe will they need to hone? What kind of person makes for a good police officer? Someone who at least make it through the academy and then maybe learn to love the job going through that.
Right. I mean, I just think you have to have a willingness to want to help people. I mean, that's the main priority. The other thing is we're looking for people of good moral character, right? So we want people that's going to hold like integrity, to have integrity. Those are the type of people we're looking for. The nice thing about Toledo, we're a large department, so we have our own police academy. So you don't need to have a law enforcement experience. You don't have to go to school for criminal justice. You can have a business degree, accounting degree. And if you're willing to step up and serve your community, we'll train you. We'll train you to be a police officer. And I think that's the one thing I like about Toledo. A lot of smaller agencies, they want you to already have the academy. Here, like, we're saying, hey, you don't need anything. We're going to train you. We need you to be a good person, right? But we'll give you all the training that you need. So
I'll come back to some other questions, but it would be important to note they get paid during the academy as well, correct?
They do. They get paid $27.79 in the academy. So
excellent.
They get paid.
How do you go about judging someone's moral character other than, especially if they don't have any criminal backgrounds or anything like that? A moral compass can be a moving object. How can somebody know if they're the right person, or how do you know if someone is the right person?
Well, we do background checks, and we also reach out to references. So, you know, when you fill out the background packet, we ask you to put down references, and we do make contact with those references. So I always tell people, you know, you're younger now, but what you do now can have a consequence later, right? So I always tell people, you want to try to stay out of trouble. If you know you want to be a police officer and do those kind of things, because we're going to be reaching out to the references, we're going to be following up to make sure that we hire the right people. We don't want anyone out there. We want the right people out there.
Any of you know offhand anyone who might have come from a rougher background and made some mistakes, but not enough mistakes that kept them from being on the force, and now they are a pillar of the job? Do any people jump to mind? Any examples?
There's an officer in our department that I know of that was a part of my class that, you know, he made some mistakes earlier in life, and he had to go before the Civil Service Commission to get, you know, those points removed. But they gave him the opportunity to work here, and I think he does a great job here. I'm not going to put his name out here, but
totally
I think he does a great job with the community.
Moral character, pretty important, being a decent human being. If somebody heard what you said, they're thinking, I have good moral character, I like to help the community, but I don't know if I could be a police officer because guns and bad people and blah, blah. How would you dissuade, or how would you persuade them that, look, that's not the whole thing? If you're a good person and you want to help, there's a place for you in TPD.
I think a lot of people think that all day long we're out there enforcing laws, and that's all we're doing. But a lot of the calls that we go to are not even police related, to be honest with you. But everyone calls the police for a lot of things nowadays. And we go out there and we're basically mediators. So that's what we do. So I would tell you, like, there's a small percentage that of the time that we might have to use our firearm, right? But the majority of the calls are normal calls that we go to dealing with people and trying to get them to come up with a resolution, I guess. So,
did you have an inordinate amount of calls on eclipse day on Monday, or actually did you have fewer calls than normal because everybody was staring at the sky?
That's a good question. Unfortunately, we were out recruiting that day, so we're not sure. But
what was that like? hey, I know there's a once-in-a-lifetime cosmic event. How'd you like to work at TPD?
Right. It worked out pretty well. They had a lot of people downtown, so that's pretty
good. For sure. What are some of the physical requirements that are important to get into the academy?
So just to get in, for males between the ages of 20 and 29, you have to do 32 sit-ups within a minute, 19 push-ups within a minute, and run a mile and a half under 14 minutes and 34 seconds.
I could do two out of those three, but I'm older than those. Anything else? Is there any flexibility with any of that as all? If someone might have some, like, a mild disability or anything like that, or is that like hard and fast rules?
That's the state standard.
Yeah, that's the state standard. So unfortunately, we don't have too much flexibility with it.
Got it.
And I will say this. A lot of if you're a male, the one thing I say is to work on the sit-ups. A lot of people go in there like, you know, I did sit-ups in high school, right? So I could do 50 sit-ups, 60 sit-ups in high school. Well, now you're an adult. Now you're 10 years later. So, right? Yeah. Now we realize, like, you know, I can't do as many sit-ups I could do before. So my best advice is to try to do the sit-ups and make sure you can hit the number before the date.
Haven't we all moved over to crunches anyway now?
I know, right?
Wasn't sit-ups like a 1960s gym kind of thing?
Right. Well, they still got the sit-ups here in the state of Ohio for to get in the academy, but no, I hear you saying.
What's changed about the academy? You talked about like just basically dealing with people, not so much crimes. I've been fortunate enough to come speak to the academy with people with the mental health board there, and always talking about, at least when I was there, you know, mental health things, showing parts of the brain, like this brain is not working correctly, and this is the kind of person that you might run into. How much more, at least what you've heard of, have things shifted towards de-escalation, diffusion, understanding that this person, they might have done something wrong, but it's because their brain's miswired. How much is that part of the discourse now at the academy?
I would say a decent portion of our academy, we do a lot of de-escalation. We also bring in, we do a lot with mental health. We bring in people in that profession to teach us at the Toledo Police Academy. We also do scenarios to try to get you in like a high stress situation, see if you can de-escalate that situation, because it is a hot topic, right? So we do focus a lot of training on there. Even when officers get on the street, our department offer where we can get certified in CIT, crisis intervention, extra 40 hours. So we do put a lot of emphasis on the mental health and making sure that we're able to handle those situations. And I think that's a cool thing about the Toledo Police Department is our training is pretty, I'd say it's probably the top in the state.
Officer Walkup, you've been on the force, like you said, 3 years?
Yes, sir.
How have you seen things change in that directive, in that direction? Because in the last 4 years, I always say that the silverest lining, maybe the only silver lining of COVID was more people started to take their mental health a lot more seriously because a lot of people mentally, emotionally broke in the last 4 years. Absolutely. And there's been a lot of changes, whether it's in the police force, understanding the brain, into workplaces, understanding that somebody might need a day off because their brain's not working right, not because they're sick. What have you seen in changes in that regard in just the 3 years you've been on the force?
What I've seen is emphasis on training. Like what Sergeant said, is CIT, crisis intervention training, is huge.
What kind of stuff is taught during CIT?
So you meet with all the local activists that go around. You get to tour all the facilities. You get to meet with people. And the biggest thing is you get professionals that know best, and they come in and they explain everything to you. They explain the best de-escalation tactics. We like to call it verbal judo. Verbal judo. That's what we like to call it. So you come in and
mind effing people the reverse way.
Right.
So would it be would being in TPD be a good job for someone who might have a real serious interest in mental health, because they maybe psychology is not something they want to pay to go to school for 20 years, but verbal judo might be very helpful if they're good at it to be a part of TPD?
No, absolutely. Especially with our department too, is we have such a big emphasis on training, to where we really do try to de-escalate first. Physical force should be a last option.
Yeah. Right?
So our department's really big on that. And to be honest, too, when you're taking calls, it's like what you guys said. It's not all run and gun, all that. 90% of the time, you're talking to people. And we deal with a lot of people that are, you know, going through crisis or have some sort of mental whatever is going on. That's most of our job.
Right.
So if they want to impact the community, that's the best way to do it.
Officer Cervetto, what is something that has surprised you that maybe you weren't expecting, either good or bad, being on the force?
I think you kind of don't realize what kind of impact you have on people being a police officer until you're on the force. And then, like, you have people coming up to you afterwards or like, hey, I remember you from when you helped me with my kid when she was missing or something like that. So I think for me, like, the longer I'm on, the more people, like, come up to you and, like, thank you so much for, like, how you helped me a year and a half ago. So I think it's, like, crazy to think about how much of an impact you have on other people's life just, like, going about your normal daily job.
How do you guys, I'll start with you, Jeff. How do you guys handle the stress? There's something, a podcast that I listen to. Jeff knows I'm a big mental health advocate. All the people that probably come talk to you, I know. Robert Kasperzak, Robert, you see Robert all the time with the mental health board. Something I stumbled onto in a podcast last fall was, we need like 10 good things, Officer Cervetto, like that person you just described. We need like 10 of those people to offset the one a-hole of the day. So, Jeff, how do you handle the stresses of the job? Like, when that one thing offsets the 10 good things that happened in your day?
I just think it's good to have a work-life balance, right? Have good people there for you. One thing I like to do, I like to go golfing, jet skiing, just having hobbies outside of work.
You didn't have a jet ski before Live PD, did you?
No, I did. I love jet skiing, but you got to have those, like, those things that you just can't, it can't all be work, right? So you got to have that balance. I think our department does a really good job of taking care of our officers. We have a new wellness program for our officers, just taking care of us, making sure that we're healthy. So I think that's what I focus on.
What's the wellness program like? Like, let's say I'm worried about a fellow officer, or I'm that officer, which I will never be. Is it kind of like an EAP, employee assistance program? How does that process work?
It goes beyond the EAP. We also have officers that are on call 24/7 that you can call if you have an issue. They've been through specialized training. And they'll help you out. We also have other resources, like we do the fit test every year. We get to work out, and it's pretty nice. We get to work out while we're working, like not at training. We work out. Last year they like checked our heart rate, making sure everything is okay with us.
Right.
So they go above and beyond. I just think the department goes above and beyond for the wellness. We're all younger.
And this is what makes you great for recruitment. You love the job so much. We can hear the enthusiasm in your voice. One last question before I move on to Officer Walker about the wellness. Have you noticed a diminishing of the stigma, not to call the two guys out behind me, but they are of the older guard. When you have younger officers like these two sitting next to you, is that new blood coming in and being more apt to know, I had a bad day, I need to talk to somebody, as opposed to maybe being judged in the past for asking for help?
I think so. And the nice thing about, I mean, the different thing about our department is so young, is that they're starting to become the majority.
Good.
So they're starting to run the house a little bit. So I think for the most part, in the academy, we hit them pretty early with mental health. And the guy who runs our wellness program, he comes in during the academy. So he immediately gets rid of that stigma. So I think it's pretty good, actually.
So it's not the, if you had a bad day, ask for help, box check, moved on.
Right.
There's actual investment into
correct,
it.
Correct, correct.
Officer Walker, what do you do when you've had a rough day? How do you leave it at work?
So, well, it's ironic, what you just said. I always tell people, you leave work at work, you have home at home.
It's hard to do, though, right?
It is. Well, I adopted two dogs.
Good for you. I like him a lot more now.
Yeah.
Where'd you get him from?
Humane Society, of course.
What are their names?
Thor and Scout.
Okay.
And my two little angels.
Okay.
But so I do that. And then a big thing is you have to always be in communication with your friends and family. Because the moment you isolate yourself, that's when you go down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
I always tell everybody, keep constant communication. I always hang out with my friends, cops or not cops. I always hang out with my family. That's the biggest thing that I say.
Officer Cervetto, how about you? How do you leave the job on the job after a really bad day?
I listen to a lot of music. I think that kind of helps me. But like Wacob was saying, I think it's really important to kind of just, when you get home, realize that you're at home and you're not at work, and be able to kind of just shut that off and be like, okay, it's time for me to relax. So like I said, I'll put on music or something like that.
What kind of music? And I'm about to judge you. We all are.
I know.
What is it?
I listen to like alternative or like classic rock.
Okay. Okay. Like Green Day? Like that classic rock?
Classic rock a little farther. More okay. classic than
Led
Green
Zeppelin?
Day. A little bit. I grew up listening to like more classic rock, so... But, and having friends that aren't cops, too, I think that I've had the same group of friends since I was, like, 5 years old. So it's easy to kind of separate, like, work friends and, like...
Personal friends?
Personal friends, too. That helps.
We do have a bit of a small community. I like to say that this is, like, the smallest city I've ever lived in. I've been in places, Philadelphia, Detroit, Orlando. This is like a real small town. You ever come across your friends and you're like, oh, geez, I told you not to do that. Officer Walker, you're shaking your head.
Yes, I've had that.
And this isn't necessarily a sign up for the academy question, but it was just rolling around in my brain. What do you do when you're like, you see, well, I'll just use the name. What do you see when you see Thor screwing around? You're like, oh, I've been telling him to stop.
Well, you have a come to Jesus moment. That's what I like to say. Well, it's just funny because you're so right about everybody knowing everybody in Toledo. It's just so, it's such a small town, which for a big city, it's funny.
Yeah.
To where it's like you'll always run into either faces you recognize or friends, and it's always just, it's a good coaching moment, and that's where we're supposed to be in the community. Not everything is about discipline. Not every answer is jail.
Right.
And it's always just about trying to make them better as a person and try to improve them, just life as a whole.
I think it was the Wood County Sheriff talking about the new jail, to your point, sometime in the last handful of months, saying in reference to the jail, I run the largest mental health hospital in the state, and it makes sense. So I'm glad to see that we could have that discussion here. And that paradigm is shifting, that we're not just throwing somebody who did a bad thing away for the rest of their life when we can fix them and maybe not get them on the force, but get them certainly places that are still hiring. Toledo Police Academy. So we have deadlines here, probably. Deadline to apply.
Right. So basically, you have until July 31st to apply. If you're interested, you can go to tpdhire.com, like we said before. A lot of people fill out the application, but they don't do the second step, which is taking the test. This year, we're going to get more people to take the test.
What's that process like? When I've applied, when will I know, or how do I take the test?
So basically, if you go back to tpdhire.com after you apply and you go to step three, you can click that link and that'll take you to the National Testing Network. The nice thing is that this year we're giving up to 300 vouchers for free to take the test. The test is normally $65, but we're giving out 300 vouchers to the first 300 people that live in the state of Ohio or in the surrounding counties in Michigan, and then get a free voucher to take that test for free. So hurry up before we run out of vouchers, right?
Last question or so, if you want to add anything else, all of you, please do. Money is important. We talked about getting paid during the academy. What is money like when I graduate the academy?
So the nice thing is, after you graduate the academy, you'll go to a probationary rate, which is $29.51 an hour, I want to say. And then we max out about $34.76 an hour. So as a patrolman. But the nice thing about Toledo, it's a large department. There's plenty of promotional opportunities after 3 years. You can be a sergeant. So it's pretty nice about the different opportunities or the different promotional opportunities we have here.
Awesome. Sergeant McClendon, Officer Walkup, Officer Servato. I got everything right right here. I got the names finally all down.
You
awesome.
Got it down.
Final thoughts. Anybody?
Apply today.
I like it. There, we'll end with that. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.